was that our daughter Mallory moved home from University of Guelph. And we all thought it would kind of be a couple of months, maybe. But as we know, a couple of months turned into a couple of years. And I totally enjoyed having Mallory home. We all did, in fact. But we all enjoyed her, Jordan saying, yes, we did. We all enjoyed her in different ways. And what I enjoyed was these long conversations with Mallory. And we often called them our coffee breaks. So she would be up in her room doing her coursework. And then when a course or a session, seminar was over, she'd come down the stairs, kind of sit on the third stair from the bottom, and we'd have a coffee break, which was lots of conversation. And so when Mallory and I have conversation, it's full of reflections, it's full of emotions, and it's full of dreams. It's great. It's very full of words. So Terry and Mallory's communication is very, very different. They have this banter that is full of witty one-liners. They have these pushbacks that they give to each other. They have a shared humor, and they also have a shared kind of enjoyment of, might I say, of sarcasm. And so in some ways, it feels like they joust with words. They go back and forth, and they are having a blast, and it is love to them, no questions. They love this way of communicating, and they love each other. But I, however, I don't like it at all. And so during COVID, what I realized that having her home and having them together all the time in every space, I realized that something was changing within me. A frustration was growing. A kind of a sadness was growing. And I realized all of a sudden it was because their words, the way they banter, was having an impact on my soul. And what they found funny, I didn't find funny. And so one day I remember inviting Terry gently out to his wood shop, his workshop in the backyard, and saying to him, I really can't take your banter with Mallory anymore. It's actually causing me some distress. And his reply was, oh no, like we're just having fun. That's how we show love to each other. It's great. And I said, you know what, actually, I just can't have it in our house anymore, to this degree for sure. And so Terry and I talked about this and what was going on, and the gift of Terry and Mallory is that they both really, really started refraining from that kind of communicating within our homes. And they can both reflect back on it and kind of thought, oh, Mom or Catherine was being a little too serious. But what they realized was when they were offered a new way of communicating, it actually did enhance the relationship, though they still love to have this banter back and forth. And so this morning we're going to talk about Proverbs 16:24 that says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And so the word pleasant in its original Hebrew is a word noam. And this word means beautiful, pleasant, gracious, and delightful. It means to say something that creates delight in someone. And this verse is a verse of wisdom that was written by King Solomon. Solomon, he knew that pleasant words offered encouragement and comfort and strength, that these words were delightful and they were as desirable as honey from a honeycomb, as they uplift and nourish the soul and restore health to one's body. Honey is referred to often in Scripture. In fact, in Proverbs 19:9-10, it says, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The statutes or the laws of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold. They are much more pure than gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Honey is a luxurious food. The Bible encourages it to be eaten and to be enjoyed. In Proverbs 24, it says, my child, we are God's children. My child, my children, eat honey because it is good. And no one will deny that honey is sweet. In fact, I read this week something I didn't know, that honey is twice as sweet as sugar. So honey, still in the honeycomb, which is also, it's known as combed honey, has all of the nutrients intact. And honey from the honeycomb, it tastes sweeter than the honey once it's extracted from the honeycomb. I was at the market yesterday, and a woman was selling honey, and she actually had honeycomb. And I was talking to her about it, and she said, yeah, it's good to chew. It has so many really good health benefits to it. So honey, it's precious. It's sweet to our taste, and it enlivens our eyes, they say. It energizes our body, and it has many nutritional properties for our overall health. Honey itself has a long history of being used as a support for many different ailments across our globe. So many, many different nations enjoy the benefits of honey. My husband Terry has seasonal allergies, and about 5 years ago, someone said to him that if he would take a spoonful of honey from a local source, that his allergies would lessen. And it's incredible. That has been like the best way of helping his seasonal allergies is local honey every day in that season. So honey is sweet and it is healing, and our words can be the same. They should cause others to rejoice and to be glad when they hear us speak. And our words should build others up in good and in meaningful ways. So I want you to think of a time when you were experiencing something hard or discouraging. Can you recall pleasant or helpful or good, kind words that were given to you that were like honeycomb to your soul and to your body? Words that changed, words that lifted some of that heaviness or discouragement was there. Kind and gracious words flow with sweet nourishment. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 18:21 that there is great power in your tongue, in my tongue, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say can make an impact for good, or it can make an impact for evil. It can build up, or our words can tear down. Let's think about this. Something really interesting that of all the creatures in this planet, it is only humans that have the ability to communicate through the spoken word. The power to use words is a unique and special gift given from God to us as his people, as all people. Proverbs is one of the books of the Bible that we call the wisdom literature. And the book was written, as we said earlier, by King Solomon, who was known as as Israel's wisest king. And the book of Proverbs has much to say about the appropriateness and the importance of our words. King Solomon consistently extols the value of choosing our words wisely. Solomon uses images to show the power of our words. Gentle words are a tree of life. Tree bears fruit. Trees give shade. Trees give beauty. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. Think of a fountain as an oasis in the desert, that the words of a godly person, of a wise person, they offer refreshment. They encourage and they comfort. Gracious, kind, and pleasant words. They encourage us, and they also inspire us to keep on going in our lives. Sometimes when we feel weary or defeated or unseen, we recognize that words can come in like a fountain of life. Words that revive, words that refresh, words that build up, words that strengthen someone to continue on. King Solomon continues in Proverbs 12:18, where he contrasts the wounding power of words and the healing power of words. He says that thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. I think most of us have known words or heard words that felt like a sword. And we have also received words that have healed places within us, or we have seen words heal communities. Wholesome, godly, and pleasant words flowing from our lips are like honey from a honeycomb. They have power to stimulate mental, physical and spiritual health. And again, they refresh, they encourage, they give life, and they heal. What an amazing power our words have. And our words, well, they also have the power to hurt and to discourage and to bring low, and to also to impact the trajectory of someone's life. We don't want to be people who say unkind words, and we don't want to be people who receive unkind words. We want to be people where words like honey flow from our hearts and from our mouths. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." The Greek word translated unwholesomeness, it means rotten or foul. And it originally referred to rotten fruit and vegetables. Instead, our speech is to be characterized only by that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, and words that will benefit the other person, for those who are listening. Helpful, edifying, meeting needs, and beneficial. These are the descriptive goals for the words that we are to use. God prompted me to memorize this verse from Ephesians 4 when I was back in high school. I had gotten caught up in gossip and using words that were tearing people down. And one of my teachers, I'll name him Murray Baker, was a Christian. And with great wisdom and encouragement, and courage on his behalf, I believe, he called me aside one day to speak to me about my words. And I clearly remember this interaction. Mr. Baker started by saying, "Catherine, I'm not speaking to you as a teacher right now. I'm speaking to you as a Christian." Wow. "And I believe that you, Catherine, want to follow God's ways. And right now, the words that I'm hearing from you aren't words that are encouraging or honoring to God." And his words, which were a beautiful gift to me, acted as words of correction and of encouragement, and they have stayed with me for years. It's often a reminder that the Spirit of God gives me, "Catherine, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Use only words that will build each other up and for the benefits of those who are listening. Catherine, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth." And it reminds me to choose my words well. When God speaks this verse to me, it steers me back to paying attention to my words, and ultimately, it reminds me to have a good look at what's going on in my heart, for my heart is reflected in my words. We're going to watch a really short video clip because I believe this really clearly illustrates the power of negative words, how they come to us, and we as adults can be mindful that this is a video about a youth. It's probably happening in the halls of a high school. And we know that words hurt. They hurt our youth, and they hurt us. And so, Ben, if you can show that video. And James, could you flick off some lights, please?
Oh, there she is. She's such a loser.
I know.
What a geek.
Yeah.
Get lost.
Words hurt. Don't be a part of it.
Words hurt. Don't be a part of it. Let's pray for our young people as they enter into high school, as they are in younger grades, that the words that they receive will not be hurtful words like this. But when I watched that video for the first time, I felt it, where a word can slam into us, can knock us off course. So we don't want to be part of harsh words. In the Bible, we know of David. And David was a man that he knew his passion, and he knew his passion. And he also knew that thoughts that flooded his heart could quickly be translated into careless words that poured forth out of his mouth. And so he asked the Lord to set a watch or a guard over his mouth, a guard that would guard over the door of his lips. So he prayed this prayer, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And if we truly desire for our words to be pleasant as honeycombs, then we are invited to pray the same prayer. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. In biblical time, there were guards that stood at the city gates, and this kept the city and the citizens safe. And so what we are doing by praying that prayer is we are inviting God to do a good work in us. We are giving him permission, an invitation to come and be the guard over our words and over our lips, to be our helper, to be our strength. And when we invite him to do this, this is the position that God takes in our lives. He helps to give us new words to say. He protects the words that come out of our mouths and where they land in other people. And I invite us to pray, set a guard over my mouth. Lord, keep watch over the doors of my lips. I deeply value that God desires to protect us and to lead us into holiness. And I also deeply value that God understands my weaknesses and your weaknesses and my challenges and your challenges of how difficult it can be to live the holy life, the holy lives that we desire. And so in acknowledging that we would benefit from a guard over our mouths, God says that he is offering us support and he's offering us choices so that we are able indeed to have words that are like honey. So what's going on in me when my words are not so sweet as honey? What is going on in you when your words are not so sweet as honey? I'll speak about me. For me, it's when I'm tired. It's when I have a sense of lack of control. So Jordan would know on Sunday mornings when I'm a little nervous about speaking, maybe, that I'm not the most loving mom. We have about a 3-minute drive to church, and on that drive, I sometimes say, if you don't speak, I won't speak, and that will be better for our morning rush. When I'm in a rush, my words are not kind or as sweet as honey. When I'm focusing on my screen or my device, or when I'm allowing that bing of my phone to distract me from the person who's in front of me. When Terry and I haven't had quality times of connection. When I'm not taking a full day off during the week. When I have a sense that I'm losing control of something. When I'm angry. When I'm comparing myself to someone. When I'm envious. But mostly for me, it is when I'm rushed and when I'm not allowing space or margins in my life to be able to pay attention to the person that's in front of me and to be able to think, to give wisdom and kindness to the words that I'm speaking. So I am so thankful that God actually cares about our words and that God cares about us and wants our words to be as sweet as honey. And some of you might know this story, but it was a number of years ago. I'm going to say like 15 years or beyond, where Terry and I were engaged in, I'm going to say, a battle. And if Terry and I have a conflict, I use a lot of words, as you can only imagine. And Terry will often ask me just to slow down my words. And so in this particular instant, and we were in our other home, and I remember actually kind of following Terry, chasing Terry almost through the house with these words that I had to say to him. They weren't kind words. And we ended up in the basement, right beside the washing machine. So real to me. And I remember God's Spirit saying to me, Catherine, don't say any more words. Stop talking. I heard this clearly. It's why I can stand in my mind in front of this laundry machine. And I didn't listen. And I spoke really cutting and hurting words to Terry. And I can't take those words back. I couldn't take those words back. You want to suck them back in? But I couldn't, and they hurt him. And it took us time to unhurt, to correct, to build one another back up. But I tell you that story less about me, but more about God cares about our words. And he will come in and stop us and remind us and give us different choices. And our invitation is to listen to God. Our desire must be the words of the song that Doris and Rocco just sang. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We can start every single day saying that. We can wake up and we can say, on this day, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So along with prayers of protection over the words, there are also just some practical ways that we can make our words sweet as honey. And you will have many, many more than the ones I can offer today, or you can find lots of articles. One I suggest deeply is to pause before speaking, especially when you're wondering if the words are going to be sweet like honey or not. Just take a breath. Take a deep breath. Ground yourself. Remind yourself that you want your words to be sweet as honey. Ask for a moment to the person that you're in front of. I think if I speak these words now, they're not going to be very gentle. And so I'm just going to take a few minutes. But I will come back to this conversation. Let the person know that you will return, but what you're doing is good for them, and it is good for you. Speak I statements. So instead of saying you, you can say I. And I remember as a younger mom with Mallory, I learned this. Something that was really helpful for me as I parented her was instead of saying you make me angry or upset, that I learned to say I feel upset when. And so this came out of Mallory loved to be in her car seat and push her feet against the driver's seat. And so it would be, you are making me so angry when you do that. But I realized I didn't want to do that because I was happening a lot of the time with Mallory. And I learned to say, this is what I'm experiencing, Mallory, when you do that. And when I started saying those words when she was little, it helped me all the way through her growing up years and with Jordan and with others, that I am feeling upset when, I am feeling frustrated when, I am feeling hurt by. And so we own that. Another thing that I think is really important, because God is a God of redemption, is that we can say, may I say that again, please? It's not how I wanted to say it. And as a listener, that's when you get to take a breath and say, yes, I will receive this kind of redo. I will allow that person to say that again. Something that I have carried with me in my life is that it takes five or more, but we're going to say five. That's a study I read this week, that it takes five positive words to balance out one negative word. It's a little banter we have in our life of Terry might say something like, you left your teacup in my vehicle this week. And I'll say, yes, I did. Say five positive words to me now. And so it's kind of a little bit of fun. But it's something that I have carried, that when I let a negative word come out of my mouth, I know I have to say five positive words. And so it's better not to have to do all that work sometimes. And so it helps guard the words that I speak. It is important for us to know that we can remind ourselves by touching our lips. We can just, like in a conversation, when it's going off the rails, you can touch your lips and just remember, God, place a seal upon my lips, or let my words be like honey, sweet as honey and life-giving. And we also can look to Jesus' words. They are described like this in John 6, that Jesus' words bring spirit and life. And so we can go into Scripture and we can find the words that Jesus used and we can begin implementing them into our own lives. This very wise King Solomon said, "It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time." May we be people who know the right thing to say and at the right time. We are invited to speak gracious, delightful, and pleasant words. Words that are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones, or healing to our bodies. And so as a reminder today, if you would like to, we are going to invite you up to receive some honey on your lips. So Amanda and I are going to be here. We will use fresh little sticks for each person. But you may come to this end or to this end. And we're just going to put honey on your lips. and I invite you to taste it. And just as you return to your seat, to savor that, to say, this is the flavor that God desires for our words to be. I invite this to be to you an encouragement. It's not a judgment or a criticism. But in my own life, I've had many times where I've had to come back to God and say, I'm so sorry for my words. So if that's how you feel today, know that this sweetness of honey is available to you by God. So come forward if you'd like to. Let's pray. Oh God, I thank you that you're a God full of emotions. I thank you, God, that you invite us to laugh and to cry, to celebrate, to encourage. Thank you, God, that our emotions are expressed so often in our words. And you invite us, you give us opportunity to let our words be sweet as honey. God, thank you for those of us who work in a workplace, God, where we can use words to encourage and uplift and to give life to the work community. Thank you for those of us who have the gift of marriage. May we be reminded to build our spouse up with our words, God, and not to tear down. For those who are parents, God, in this room, may we understand again and again and again the power of our words to build up, to support, to strengthen, to provide a pathway for our children. We invite our grandparents to know the power of their words as they invest in this next generation. God, we thank you for friends and friendships. May you be the God who supplies words of delight between our friendships and strengthen our relationships. And thank you, God, that we are a congregation of faith. Thank you, God, that our words matter to one another. Thank you that our words matter to this community around us. God, would you remind us to use our words sweet as honey, to build up this body of Christ. And God, if we ever feel like we have run out of words that are sweet, would you fill us with words that you would desire for us to speak? And God, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Again, you are welcome to come forward. I don't know, Ben, if you could get a little background music, or Rocco, if you can strum.
This last song, we would like to do it as a blessing to the youth. We had the privilege and honor of having them over, and so the words up on the screen, energy and enthusiasm, resonated with me. Yeah, lots of that. Yeah, thank you, Catherine, for your words. That's encouraging and challenging. I'm very well versed in the language of sarcasm, so my kids and Doris tell me. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. So yeah, if you are able and you would like to stand, let's sing this as a blessing to our youth and to Ben, those that are going off to a new season in their lives.
Breath of God.